Ever since Donald Trump became a viable political candidate, he has sparked important questions about who can and should be seen as American. From his call to ban Muslims from entering the country to his suggestion that a Mexican-American judge, Gonzalo Curiel, could not possibly be impartial in a lawsuit over Trump University.
But I have a judge who is a hater of Donald Trump. A hater. He's a hater. His name is Gonzalo Curiel.
Behind all this rhetoric, there's a consistent theme. Donald Trump wants to define who's an American. Recently, though, many people across the entire political spectrum have begun questioning Trump's own American-ness. There was Republican Senator Lindsey Graham responding to Trump's comments about Judge Curiel.
I think it's un-American. I think it runs against who we are as a people, and I'll have no part of it.
After Trump's call for a Muslim ban, Democratic Senator Harry Reid took to the Senate floor.
It's reprehensible and un-American for the nominee of any major party to declare millions of Americans guilty and to prove innocent purely by virtue of their religion.
And after hearing his fellow Republicans call for banning mosques, MSNBC's Joe Scarborough was defiant.
Let me look straight into the camera so this can never be wiped clean. That's un-American.
But is it un-American? And who gets to decide what is and isn't American? I spoke with writer Veronica Valletti Flores after the Orlando shooting, and this is what she had to say.
What Trump is saying is actually very American. I think that racism and colonization is actually what this country is largely built on. And we like to talk about how this country was built on freedom, but it was also built on slaves and on the genocide of indigenous people and on the oppression of folks like LGBTQ Latinos. So in some sense, I think it sounds very un-American what Trump is saying. But on the other hand, I think that it's actually distinctly American.
So again, what does it mean to be an American? It's a question that we're constantly asking on In the Thick, which is the political podcast that we produce here at the Futuro Media Group. On a recent episode of In the Thick, I spoke with Veronica Valletti Flores, along with our political editor, Julio Ricardo Varela, and with playwright and commentator Wajahat Ali, who got our conversation started.
I think what Donald Trump represents, it's this competing darkness that is rooted within American soil, which is, I think, rooted, let's be honest, with racist violence and racial violence. We have to acknowledge the fact that we have these foundations, the Supreme Court, Congress, the White House, these buildings that espouse the values of freedom and tolerance, these American values that we cherish and that we export to the world, the beacon, which is why so many immigrants have come to this country. My family, for example, Pakistani immigrants, Muslims. And yet, those same foundations that espouse these values were built by slaves, black men, women, and children who were denied their humanity. And 15 to 30% of the slave trade that was brought over here forcibly against its will was Muslim.
So, what does it mean to be American for you? As a college student, I will say, yeah, I was like, no me digas que soy americana. But now at this point in my life, I'm like, oh, no. I am an American citizen. My husband is. My kids are. We live here. This is my country. I am 100% American. And I tell my students, you have to own your Americanness and call yourself American.
You know, I think, Maria, I agree with you. When I wasn't born in this country, I was naturalized a few years ago. And when I go back to Venezuela, I'm a gringa, you know? And even though Americans might not be ready to accept me, I do see myself as being part of a long, long legacy of resistance, right? I'm not the first person to have these opinions. Indigenous people here whose land was taken away fought back. Slaves fought back. And that has a legacy in America, too. And I'm part of that.
If we weren't allowed to have these rights, you know, to express ourselves, to resist, the ability to resist, that to me is a fundamental, like, right that very few people in this world have. And I take that sort of sense of expression is to be inherently American. And so that's where I feel like I have the right to say that, you know, America, this country is not exceptional. And I'm not going to get, you know, I can say that right now. I could say it out in New York City, and I'm just as proudly American as anybody else.
What about you, Waj?
Damn right I'm American. I'll be damned if I let anyone ever take that away from me. I was born and raised in this country. And not only am I going to fight for the American narrative and the American dream, I'm going to fight to be the protagonist of the American narrative with a multisyllable, trisyllabic name with brown skin who drinks chai when he kisses his wife, who was the high school cheerleader. And I'm going to make sure that my son, Ibrahim, who's 2 years old, will grow up in America where he too can say, you know what, maybe I can be president. And all that matters is my character and my, you know, goodwill. And if I can raise a lot of money from lobbyists. But why not me? If I too can be, you know, why not Ibrahim Ali? And it's our job, especially, you know, it's a tough burden, especially for a person of color. If you're a minority, if you're a Muslim, you can, you know, fill in the blank if you want to empathize. But our job is to push and stretch the boundaries of what it means to be American, to continually write a chapter in the evolving, messy, rough draft of America, and to bum rush the show, to quote Public Enemy from the late 80s and early 90s, because no one's going to give it to us. Even though, yes, it is a right according to its values, what we've seen in the underbelly of America is that there's a darkness that wants to rob us of our dignity, of our rights, of our place, of our rightful place in this story.
And we're saying no.
Hell no. Yeah. I'm American. You say you're American? Well, I'm just as American as you, and I'm going to prove I'm even more American than you by basically living out these values that you celebrate but don't necessarily live up to. I'm going to do it for not only myself, but for all Americans.
Veronica, are you proud to be an American? You had to raise that right hand just like me and pledge to this country.
I'm not going to lie, Maria. It was very, very difficult. It was very difficult to sign those papers. It was very emotional for me.
Why was it difficult?
It was difficult, Maria, because I think that part of the reason why I am in the United States is because of the United States. When you look at the United States as a global superpower and the foreign policy and the economic policy, it's caused a lot of trouble in South America. It's caused a lot of trouble where I'm from. And the economic devastation that forces people to come to this country is not out of thin air. It's because of foreign policy. It's because of decisions that are often and largely made in the United States. So I am an American because I've been displaced from a country that I called home, and now I'm here, and now this is my home. And yes, I'm super excited that there's so many rights that I have and that I can say that on here and nobody's going to come arrest me. But I also read the news that the NYPD just gave up a huge vault of all of the files that they from when they spied on the Young Lords, from when they spied on right. The Black Panthers. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite as easy as we have the right to say whatever we want. And there's no consequence for that. And I think that it's not quite as easy as I'm in the United States and I'm proud to be here, because I think the United States has a hand in me being here.
And Julio, are you proud?
Yeah, why not? That's not
a great answer.
No,
yeah, why not?
But that's my question. Why are you questioning? Yeah. Do I have to wrap myself around the flag and be like, you know, sing I'm proud to be an American? Like, do I have to do that? No, my America is a very different type of America. It's places that reflect sort of a world, a changing country that is for the better.
And Waj, proud?
I am. I'll tell you, I live in a very interesting time with an interesting identity, because in America, I'm asked, why does Islam hate us? And when I travel abroad, and I often do, I'm asked to represent America, and Muslims ask me, why does the West hate us? And simultaneously, I'm both us and them. As an American Muslim living in 2016 America, right? In 2016 in the world. And it's fascinating that I always defend both. I defend Muslims, Islam, I defend America. But listen, I still think, and many American Muslims still think, that America is the best place for a Muslim to be an open practicing Muslim. Yes, even now in 2016 America, with Trump, with the 1.6 billion proposed ban, many of us still say, if you gave us a choice of any country in the world right now, including Muslim majority countries, where can you be fully, openly, authentically Muslim and still have a shot at the dream, if it's the American dream, the global dream, or just the dream of success and happiness? And I guarantee you, based on all the polls and stats, most American Muslims would say, I'll still stick with the American project. I'll invest my roots here.
Thanks to Noam Hassenfeld for producing that story. The conversation first appeared on the political podcast In the Thick